Niyatam Kuru Karma Tva.
Niyatam Kuru Karma Tva.
Karma Jayo Hya Karmanaha.
Karma Jayo Hya Karmanaha.
Sharira Yatra Pichate.
Sharira Yatra Pichate.
Na prasidyena karmanaha.
Na prasidyena karmanaha.
Niyatam kuru karma tvam.
Niyatam kuru karma tvam.
Karma jayo hya karmanaha.
Karma jayo hya karmanaha.
Sharira yatra pichate.
Sharira yatra pichate.
Na prasidyena karmanaha.
Na prasidyena karmanaha.
Niyatam.
Niyatam.
Prescribed.
Prescribed.
Puru.
Puru.
Do.
Do.
Karma.
Karma.
Duties.
Duties.
Twa.
Twa.
You.
You.
Karma.
Karma.
Work.
Work.
Jayaha.
Jayaha.
Better.
Better.
He certainly.
Certainly.
Akarmanaha.
Akarmanaha.
Than no work.
Than no work.
Sharira.
Sharira.
Bodily.
Bodily.
Yatra.
Yatra.
Maintenance.
Maintenance.
Api.
Api.
Even.
Even.
Cha. Also.
Also.
Hey,
your,
na,
na,
never,
never,
proceediate,
proceediate,
is affected,
is affected,
akarmanaha,
without work.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Perform your prescribed duty, for doing so is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. Purport. There are many pseudo-meditators who represent themselves as belonging to high parentage and great professional men who falsely pose that they have sacrificed everything for the sake of advancement in spiritual life. Lord Krishna did not want Arjuna to become a pretender. Rather, the Lord desired that Arjuna perform his prescribed duties as set forth for Kshatriyas. Arjuna was a householder and a military general, and therefore it was better for him to remain as such and perform his religious duties as prescribed for the householder Kshatriya. Such activities gradually cleanse the heart of a mundane man and free him from material contamination. So-called renunciation for the purpose of maintenance is never approved by the Lord, nor by any religious scripture. After all, one has to maintain one's body and soul together by some work. Work should not be given up capriciously, without purification of material propensities. Anyone who is in the material world is certainly possessed of the impure propensity for lording it over material nature, or in other words, for sense gratification. Such polluted propensities have to be cleared. Without doing so, through prescribed duties, one should never attempt to become a so-called transcendentalist, renouncing work and living at the cost of others. Can I have another glass of water? This has got a mosquito in it. So, first of all, this duty of working, karma, is especially required for those who are materially attached. Renunciation, or naishkarmyam, giving up all activity, is not appropriate for those who have not developed attachment for the Supreme. desire is the inseparable quality of the soul. The soul cannot stop being conscious and cannot stop having desires. All that can change is the focus of the desire. Your desire may be directed to matter or to spirit. It has to be. There has to be a desire. It's just what will the desire be focused upon? So, as long as one's desires are focused materially, you have to continue doing material work. That's one thing that must be understood here. Thank you. Tavat karmani kurivita nanir vidyeta yavata matkata shravanado va yavan shraddha na jayate. This is how long one has to continue doing material work. As Krishna told Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. Until you actually lose all interest in it. Of course, impersonal spiritualists, those who are striving for impersonal liberation, have also, if they're actually authentic, have given up material interests. So they are allowed to stop working if they're serious candidates for liberation. Matkata shravanada ova, but there's another condition which will absolve one from having to continue material work. And that is if you develop actual faith in the topics glorifying Krishna. If you become interested in Krishna consciousness, in other words, you're also exempt from material work. This doesn't mean that you become completely inactive in either case. The impersonalists of all kinds, including both the Advaitavadis of the Shankara school, and that's okay. Don't worry. And the Buddhists have an idea that there can be a complete cessation of work, nirvana. Their Buddhist idea of nirvana is to go out of existence, but especially to stop being active. Similarly, the Mayavadis think that the Supreme is inactive, and anyone who becomes one with the Supreme will also be inactive. But this is not agreed to by the Vaishnavas. The living entity is always active, even in liberation. So, not only do those who are still materially attached have to work materially, but everybody has to continue doing some activity. The devotees are active in the service of Krishna, in the material world, and in the spiritual world. Krishna's devotees are very busily active in his service. In Vaikuntha, devotees are running around serving Narayan. In Goloka, in Vrindavan, the cowherd men and women are working very hard. Ladies are taking care of the houses, taking care of the cows. Even the men are working. Although, when you go to Vraja, in the material world, it looks like the men are just sitting around smoking, not doing anything. But and the women do all the work. But it's a little more equitable in Goloka Vrindavan. Everyone's working. No one stops working, in any condition. But the quality of the work changes. Stop material work. That is real nirvana. Krishna talks about karma nirvanam in the Gita. But that means stopping material activity. So Arjuna has to understand in both ways that the materialist has to continue doing his material work, and even the spiritualist continues to work, but on the spiritual platform. So, better you do the work that's prescribed for you, according to your status. Your material and your spiritual status, you'll have different kinds of work assigned to you by the scriptures. And then the gurus will interpret the scripture and apply it to your individual case. Excuse me. In the Varnashrama Dharma system, there are the four orders, social and spiritual orders, four and four, make eight. And according to which of those, which combination of Varna and Ashrama you belong to, your duties will vary. The duty of a Brahmana is to be non-violent. Duty of a Kshatriya is to be violent. The duty of a Brahmana is to live simply. The duty of a Vaishya is to make as much money as possible. So, different duties. That's Niyata Karma. Individually prescribed duty. And then, that's Varnashram system. That's all material duty. There are those who rise above Varnashram, the liberated souls, or those who are aiming at liberation, or the devotees and the candidates for devotional service. Their duties are modified. They don't have to follow the same Varnashrama duties. A Vaishnava can perform Shraddha for his father or not. It's not obligatory. According to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, our authority, who wrote the Gaudiya Vaishnava Smriti, he says that it's not necessary to perform Shraddha for your ancestors because that is automatically accomplished by doing Sankirtan. If your family, you know, feels pressured to do it, if your family is putting pressure on you to do it, then go ahead and do the Shraddha. There's no harm in it, but it's not necessary. So the duties modify. When you become a devotee of Krishna, you don't have the same material obligations anymore. Devarshi bhutapta minam. Nayam rinicha rajan. I can't remember all the words. Ordinary people have obligations to the demigods, to the sages, to their parents, and to others. Thanks to the demigods, the necessities of life are being supplied. The light we see by, the air we breathe, the water we drink, these are coming from the demigods. Therefore, we owe them a debt. All the knowledge that we receive originally comes from the Vedic sages, Brahma and his sons and other sages. We have therefore a debt to them for our knowledge. We have a debt to our mother and father for bringing us into this world and raising us. And so on and so on. So many debts. But one who gato mukundam parivityakartam, someone who takes shelter of Krishna, giving up his material duties, abandoning them, he's excused because he's no longer a debtor. His debt has been absolved. Just like, you know, we owe so much money to the bank, and the bank decides, oh, we have enough profit. We'll cancel all the debts of all our creditors. And I don't think any bank in this world has ever done that, but just theoretically. You're absolved of your debt. Or sometimes a country has a debt and it absolves itself. You know, the country decides we're not going to pay our debts off.
who can stop us, you know, like that. Absolution of debt. Krishna is absolving his devotees from their karmic debts. We don't have any obligation to these other persons who, you know, who otherwise we'd be very obliged to. We're absolved of those obligations. Not that we should show no respect. Not that now I'm a Vaishnava, I should be disrespectful to my parents and to the demigods and to the sages. That's not proper. Especially if your parents are Vaishnavas. Especially considering that many of the demigods are Vaishnavas, many of the sages are Vaishnavas, and even if they aren't, they're respectable people, and it's not proper, it's a disrespect. And it's not the injunction. The injunction is we're no longer in debt to them. It doesn't mean we can insult them, that we don't owe them respect. Maybe we don't have to do yajnas, but we do have to be considerate and respectful to all creatures. Lord Chaitanya's standard is not to be callous or disrespectful to anybody. Amani na mana dina. A pure Vaishnava following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya should not expect respect from anybody and should be ready to give respect to everybody. Not the same respect. Respect has to be given appropriately. We honor all creatures, but if I meet a poisonous snake on the road, I don't, you know, bow down at his, you know, at his feet. I stay away. Now, I show respect from a distance. I don't embrace a cobra. Nor do I come too close, become too friendly with an envious man. Respect should be shown, but as appropriate. But there is some respect to be shown to every creature. Any human being deserves a certain amount of decent respect. Any animal, even, should be allowed to live its life in peace, should not have its life disrupted, that means to kill it unnecessarily. There should not be unnecessary killing of animals. Sometimes it's required, but when it isn't, it should be avoided. A human being, you should not do any violence to, unnecessarily, even verbal violence. And what to speak of a Brahmana? What to speak of a Vaishnava? They deserve more and more very carefully considered respect. Disrespect to Vaishnavas especially will spoil our spiritual life. It's a prime reason for fall down from devotional service, is disrespect to Vaishnavas. To do violence, there are six kinds of Vaishnava aparad stipulated in the Vishnu Dharma Purana, the Vishnu Dharmottara Purana. To physically do violence, to verbally do violence, and so on. Even not to be happy at seeing a Vaishnava is also offense. Respect must be shown to everybody. And we can never become inactive, even in Krishna consciousness. Krishna says later in the 18th chapter, Yagyo dana tapak karma natyajam karyam eva tat. Yagyo danam tapaschaiva pavanani manishinam. No matter what spiritual status you're at, sacrifice, charity, and self-control, discipline for self-control, these should never be stopped. No matter how elevated you become, you still have to perform sacrifice in some form. You still have to give charity. And you still have to accept discipline. But for the Vaishnavas, it's a special form. Our sacrifice is primarily Nam Sankirtan. Our charity is to give Nam Sankirtan. And to give knowledge, as taught in the Gita and Bhagavatam. This is our charity. We don't have to give money away to everybody. Sometimes a Vaishnava will give money in charity. Even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sannyasi, paramahamsa, no material interest. But his disciples saw that sometimes in front of his own Gaudiya Math, he would give a little money to the beggars. And the disciples asked him, why you do this? And he says, I just consider these people are sent by Super Soul. And this is not in the Holy Dham, this is in Calcutta. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving money to beggars. No, not a lot of money, but just, it was just seemed appropriate to him in particular circumstances. Not that he gives money to anybody who asks, or give any amount of money asked. But sometimes Vaishnavas do material charity, or even some, minor kind of material welfare work, just to be decent, just to help people who are suffering. But it's not our prime interest. Our idea of charity is to give people Krishna consciousness. Or we can give prasad, but even prasadam should be given as part of the Sankirtan Yajna. It's part of when you perform sacrifice, including Harinam sacrifice, Sankirtan, then giving prasadam is part of the sacrifice. But just to feed people, every day, without even telling them where it's coming from, that it is Krishna prasadam, then it's not the same thing. We give because it's Krishna's prasadam. If they don't know it's prasadam, or sometimes there was one center in Europe where they had a restaurant and a bakery. And they were concerned, they heard that there's an injunction, you should not ever mix prasadam with unofferable food, that it's aparad. And this was in Europe. And beside their restaurant, where people came and sat down and ate, they had a bakery where people could buy bread and other items and take it home. And then they thought, well, people are taking this bread home and putting meat on it. So, okay, they decided that they wouldn't offer the bread, so that people wouldn't mix prasadam with the meat. But the result was, they weren't getting prasadam. They're getting unoffered bread, taking it home and putting meat on it. They consulted me, and I told them, better they get prasadam. And the concern over that offense is secondary. More important is they get prasadam. If they commit the offense, that's their problem. But they should get prasadam, not that you don't offer it, because they might put meat on it. So, there are higher principles and lower principles. Devotees do what is practical to make people Krishna consciousness. That is real charity. To withhold it or to make it something mundane by giving food that hasn't been offered, it's not prasadam then. Our business is not to distribute food, but to distribute prasadam. Distribute prasadam and let people know it's Krishna's prasad. Otherwise, what's the use? They should be aware of it. Charity and tapas. Tapas doesn't just mean causing pain to yourself. It doesn't have to be painful. The idea is discipline. Prabhupada says austerity, but it doesn't mean you have to, starve yourself until your skin and bones. Not that extreme kind of austerity. It means to take some trouble for a higher purpose. It's not the pain that's the important part. It's the discipline. It's this concentration of attention. That is the real meaning of tapas. Tap means to burn. But not just like stick fire in your arm and hurt. No, burn like the sun. The sun is burning with intense, concentrated heat. So a yogi should concentrate his attention intensely. That is tapas. Intense meditation on a goal. That is tapas. And giving up unnecessary things is for that purpose of intensifying and focusing your intention and attention. That should not be given up. Our austerities are to accept everything favorable for Krishna's service and reject everything that's unfavorable. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. That is our tapas, our austerity. So we have to continue to work also as devotees. We have to do charity. We have to do sacrifice, charity, and penance. But all three of them are in the form of Harinam Sankirtan and the practices, the active practices of devotional service. And that's actually what Arjuna is being told. On one level, yes, you're a kshatriya, you have to fight. But why Krishna wants him to fight is in devotional service. The ultimate message is Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. The ultimate message is not be a kshatriya, but give up your kshatriya dharma and just be my devotee. And in the role of my devotee, I want you to fight. The activity may be the same, but the consciousness is raised. Nishtrai Gunyabhav Arjuna. Rise above these three modes, Arjuna. Rise above the conception of your bodily identification and identify yourself simply as my servant, my devotee. That's what Krishna is going to be telling Arjuna. Hare Krishna. So, okay. Are there any questions or comments?
This one has to work, you know, to maintain one's body.
Yeah, yes.
Is it mandatory or like Prabhupada says, if somebody is engaging in Krishna consciousness and taking care of his body?
Well, it's a law of nature. You can say that, yes, it can be just a parasite and someone else, you know, like a child is maintained by the father. In some countries, people who don't work are maintained by the government, by some welfare system, social system. But, okay, maybe on that level, you don't have to go out and get it. You can get away with going out and getting a job. Many people have no employment and they're still living. You know, they go home and their brother makes money instead of them, you know. But you still have to work. It's work to live. You have to breathe. Your lungs have to pump air in and out. You have to digest food. This is work. You know, you have to be active in order to live. You know, energy has to be expended. Effort has to be made. Even the man who doesn't have an employment, it's a struggle to live. It's effort. So everybody does have to work in some way. You may avoid one kind of work, just like you may avoid having an employer and a regular paying job, but then you have to go to the unemployment office and stand online and fill out forms. You have to do something even to get your free payment from the government. Or even if you go home and live with your family and let your brother, your brother's working a job, I'm sure your mother will find something for you to do in the house. You know, nobody can get away without doing something. It's arranged by material nature. We all have to work. The animals that don't have any concept of money, earning money, they're working. The sparrows are gathering little straws to make a nest, working very hard to build that nest. Even though they have no concept of economy or employment, but they're working hard. Ants are clambering up and down the walls collecting food. So everybody in the world is forced by the modes of nature to work. Even you think I'm just a playboy, but you're working very hard at your play, at your so-called leela. You know, I drink and I eat and I'm merry and I dance and I joke with my friends. That's a lot of work. You know, to impress your friends, to chase after girls, this is very hard work. So everybody's working, even the people who think they're playing. That play is hard work. In the material world, it always is. Everybody's working. To manage, to survive in this world, always means you have to work for it. You know, or the Christians have the understanding that when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, God cursed Adam. So you ate that apple from the tree. I told you not to touch that tree. You know, the one thing I asked you is don't eat the apple off that tree. And your wife talked you into eating it. Now I curse you. God cursed Adam. You will have to work for your living by the sweat of your brow. So that's the curse of Adam. Every human being has that curse on his forehead, that we have to work to live. Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.